Jesus. What a joy it has been to be here with you these three nights. And I've been thinking this afternoon about the fact of what you have here as a camp meeting. And it's special. I'm going to tell you that. It's very special. And to have this many preachers come together, that's glorious. I mean, that is wonderful. And I appreciate that fact. You do know that Satan will do everything in his power to destroy this or to ruin it. I'll say this to you preachers. Problems will arise. I'll grant you that. They always do. But you, if you are a man of God, and I believe you are, and all of you preachers that are here, then sit down and together and work this thing out and pray together, whatever it might be. I haven't sensed that you have any right now, but I'm saying they will come. They always do. But keep this by the grace of God, because we're in the last days and we don't have a lot of places like this. Last year, we closed the Cleveland County camp meeting for lack of interest. I mean, that's just it, lack of interest. We've got the churches in Cleveland County, and as far as I know, there's not any dissension among us. It's just the fact that so many want to do their own thing, and if they can be in charge and run it, then, you know. But it's sad when things like that happen. But I'm thankful for this camp meeting. It has meant so much to me down through the years, and I appreciate what God has done and what He is still doing here. I praise His name. Well, I appreciate some of my folks being here tonight from Olive Grove. We've had some from there every night, and I thank the Lord for that. They'll still come and hear me once in a while, and I'm glad. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And while you're finding that, let me exhort you also to pray for the moderator of this camp meeting. Now, he's a good friend of mine, but I would say that no matter who's the moderator, because it's not easy. It's not easy. I was moderator in the Cleveland County camp meeting for several years. I hadn't been in the last 10 years or so, but I was, and it's not easy. You've got to pray, and you've got to pray, and you've got to pray, and find the will of God as to who to bring in. You can't just bring in popular fellas. If that was the case, you wouldn't have me here, that's for sure. And yet you pray for your moderator, that God would bless him and help him. I have enjoyed it this week tremendously, and I'll get out of the way, Lord willing, tonight. Let these fellows come in that can preach. And I appreciate those fellows from the depths of my heart. I really do. But I'm thankful for the opportunity. Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to begin our reading with verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. We find these words, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." All right, you may be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. I want to use this subject this evening. That is a challenge for our faith. Boy, if there's ever been a time of challenge to people's faith, it is the day that we're living in. I mean, it's something. Every way you turn, we have trials within, we have trials without, and things are not getting better. And I know the church has always had to pass through trial as well as individual Christians, but I don't think that the people of God have ever had to pass through the unique trials that we're having in our day. And the Lord knows it's about over. You and I know that, and I believe Satan has at least a hint of that. He's throwing everything he can against us. And then the world has so much to offer, and our people have become somewhat worldly. And that always works against faith. But God still answers to faith. That never changes. God never changes. And he still answers to that. Now, several of our Lord's miracles are recorded in this chapter. Webster defines a miracle as an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws. In other words, it's supernatural. And that's exactly what these miracles are. Not everyone who's says they perform miracles, they don't. Trust me, they don't. And since miracles cannot be scientifically explained, more and more so, our Lord's miracles are being rejected in these days. It takes faith to believe these things happened and that they are true. And yet they are. But it also took faith on the part of these two blind men to be recipients of this miracle. Our Lord healed them in answer to their faith. Now listen closely, because I believe there is much our Lord will not do for us if faith is absent. I believe there's a lot he will not do. You say he's sovereign, he's going to do what he wants to do. I understand. I accept that, but I also see on the other hand that God looks for faith and God honors faith. And we praise him that that is so. But I wonder what we might have missed out on due to lack of faith. I do praise God for his long suffering. I'm glad for his patience. He waits on us. He brings us along. He gives us what we need in order for our faith to be strengthened. But no doubt there are times we have been passed by, or at least we had to wait longer than was necessary because of the lack of faith. I remember our Lord said on one occasion he was in this place, and it says that he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So in that sense, God can be limited. But you think about it. There will be situations which will challenge faith. They'll call in to question the reality of it or the quality of it. We're not so much concerned about quantity because God will honor the least grain of faith. But we are concerned as to whether or not it's real and the quality of it. So let's look at this under three headings tonight. I want us to notice first of all the character of this challenge. Now, to these men, these blind men, it was a personal challenge. Our Lord was speaking out of these two men, not to the multitude, when he asked that question, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" It was a personal challenge. Now, it's very easy to believe what all Christians believe. You know, it's easy to believe with the multitude, but that's not what we're talking about. The multitude of Christians believes that God can do anything, and that's true. That is true, but that's not much of a challenge to our faith at all. But when our Lord's question comes to us personally and internally and in reference to our own problem, we often fail. And it's then that the lack of faith is revealed unto us. Ever had that to happen? I've had that to happen a number of times. And so when God has allowed or sent a problem into your life, something that's going to try you and test you, you need to remember, my friend, that God is looking on, and He is revealing, He allows these things to let us see where we stand concerning our faith. It's easy to get pumped up and believe, oh, brother, I'll tell you, my faith, it is something else. It's remarkable. If I'd lived in the days of Jesus, no doubt I'd be in the Word of God myself. It's easy to feel like that. But what happens when that personal problem comes and it calls for personal faith in the Lord? And it challenges you personally. Now, there are times you can get help, maybe from the Bible, maybe from a good Christian book, maybe from your pastor or a Christian friend. But there are times that God, I will hem you up and deal with you personally and allow your faith to be challenged and test you. You think about that. But it was also a particular challenge. And I want you to see this. This will bless you if you can see it. Listen, that little word in that verse, number 28, and we'll mostly center around that, where Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this. Believe ye that I am able to do this. We can believe Him for certain things, but Jesus comes to us with that question. Do you think I can do this? I know you believe me for some things, and you have asked me to bless the church, and I have, but now you're in the corner. You have a problem. Do you think that I can do this? Amen. That's something to face old age with, isn't it? That's something to face every day with, and the often problems that crop up in our life. Think about it. Listen, easy to believe Him for common everyday needs, but oh, how large our this becomes when it begins to work in our life. I want to ask you tonight, and I don't doubt but what there are many sitting here who have a this, who have a unique problem, who have something that's trying you and maybe worrying you and pulling you down. You have a this, and God is asking you, I believe ye that I am able to do this. I know there's parts of the world that are hungry, but that's not so much our problem tonight. I know that the government seems to be running amok. That's not really our problem. That's not your problem tonight. As you see it here, something is working on you. Something is troubling you. God is saying, how do you believe that I'm able to do this? This. Focus on your this tonight. We all have them from time to time. It was also a prolonged challenge. In verse 27, Jesus departed. Two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, that verse states that they followed Him, crying and saying. We do not know how long that happened. We don't know if they followed Him a mile or if they followed Him a few steps. We do not know. It just says they followed Him crying and saying. But Christ didn't stop on the way and heal them. What about that? No. You would have thought, well, he's God. He's Jesus. He came to earth to help people. Why won't He do something for these men? They keep crying out to Him, and He just keeps walking, seemingly ignoring them. Well, I don't know why that He waited until He got into the house. There are probably some dispensational meaning within that. I don't really know. But I do know that our Lord often has to get us into a certain place spiritually before He tackles our problem. You ever thought about that? Don't be too anxious. Some people, they'll pray one prayer. Well, evidently the Lord's not going to help me. I better go do this or do that. And you work yourself right out of the will of God if you're not careful. Amen. Now, don't take me wrong. If you need medicine, take it for God's sake. Don't get sick on us. I don't go running home and say, well, I'm just going to trust God. Listen, my friend, God's the one who gave us the medicine. And so we'd better listen unto him. But this was a challenge that he did not immediately respond to. These men, though, were persistent until Christ answered them. And he answered them when he got them in the place he wanted them to be. And that's my problem tonight. And that's your problem. A lot of times, God wants to answer our prayer and will answer our prayer. He will help us out of our problems and settle our doubts and all of that. But listen, God is doing more than one thing at a time, usually when he helps you. Have you ever been praying about a particular thing, and when the answer came, it settled two or three or four things? I've done that more than once. But my friend, let me say this. Don't begin doubting God because you don't have an immediate answer. If you find it in your heart how to continue to pray, then pray until you hear from heaven. Amen. Amen. Think of that. Pause and think a moment about this. If you fail to believe the Lord concerning this particular challenge, what will prevent you doubting his ability the next this that comes along? If you're not going to trust him for this one, will you trust him the next time it comes along? And I like what Spurgeon said. He said, besides, Christ claims omnipotence, and he is omnipotent. So, Spurgeon said, if he cannot do this for you, he is not omnipotent. And if he won't be able to help you with this, then he can't help you the next this. What about that? Oh, yeah. My friend, if you're going to doubt him now, or if you're going to come to the conclusion that he can't help you with this, then what are you going to do? He can't help you with the next one. I've got news for you. He can help you with your present this and your future's this and all of them. Amen. I pastored for 3 years above Lenore, and then the Lord moved me to Olive Grove. And I knew no one there. And I was on my own in a certain sense. I didn't go running to my pastor. I've been accused of that. But I didn't go running to my pastor. Only one time did I consult him, and the Lord told me to then. I didn't have anything to lean on as far as outward props were concerned. But the Holy Ghost reminded me my first week there that I did have something to lean on. And so I just looked to God. And there were many a times that a this came into my life as a young preacher. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who's faithful. And he knows every this you'll ever have. Amen. He knows the one you're having right now. One that's so persistent in your life and maybe has been. And he knows how it's aggravating you. He knows how it's worrying you. And he's waiting on you. You trust him. But then we move past the character of this challenge. Let's think about the call in this challenge. Our Lord's question reveals some things to us. Believe ye that I am able to do this. For one thing, it's a call to a greater knowledge of Christ's person. He said, believe ye that I am able to do this. Oh. And there again, we have that kind of knowledge that just spans the universe and say, God can do anything. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your problem and your worries. And do you think the Lord can handle them? Believe ye that I am able to do this. Oh, my friend, if it were not sinful, it would actually be ridiculous how much easier it is for us to exercise faith in man than it is in God. Let me give you an illustration. There are some people who might say, if a few more people were to join our church, our offerings would increase, and then we could do so much more for the Lord. Now that sounds plausible at first sound, but let me tell you something. The reason for such talk is our failure to know our Lord as He should. If I remember correctly, He took five loaves and two small fishes and fed over 5,000 people. There you are, worried about your small congregation and the little bit of money you're taking in. Have you ever asked God to multiply it? You'd be surprised at what the God of heaven is able to do if we'll believe Him and trust Him. Believe ye that I am able to do this. And of course, anyone who said yes to that would be admitting he's God. Amen. And that was dangerous in those days. But oh, think about it. This kind of faith is much more than that which is based upon hearsay. And certainly more than something that can be worked up mentally. I hope you know the difference. That is a different message. But I hope you know the difference. It's easy to say, sit down with yourself and go over it in your mind, or just say it out loud. I believe, I believe, I believe. Friend, that doesn't mean a blessed thing. No. But God can teach you about Himself, and you'll know how to believe Him, and you'll know when to believe Him. Faith cometh by hearing, not by chanting. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why our faith is so weak and so small. We don't study and read His Word like we should and meditate upon. That's the fountain. And you can believe God for who He is if you'll learn about Him. Where do you learn? You learn it in the Word of God. You learn it under sound preaching. Sound Sunday school teaching, that's where, and your heart reaches out and grasps a knowledge of God. And brother, that's going to help you when your this comes down the road. And then it's a call to a greater belief in Christ's power. He said, believe ye that I am able. Believe ye that I am able. Do you think I have the ability to do this for you? I mean, man, he's got their feet to the fire, hasn't he? He wanted to help them, but he was drawing out what was necessary. Believe ye that I am able. Believe ye that I am able to do this. That cast another light on it. What do you think tonight? Do you think God is able to handle your problem? And I go back to what I said earlier. It's much easier for us to believe our Lord for what we would call small things and then to believe Him concerning this. Now I want to tell you, if you were to talk to a fellow Christian about what's bothering you now, they might laugh at you. Because they've been through it. And to them, it's a very small problem. But it's not to you, is it? It's very big. I mean, it hounds you. Have you ever had something to bother you so badly that you couldn't sleep? And you ate just to keep yourself alive. You had no interest there. It controlled your mind and your thinking process. That's all you could think about. I mean, it was worrying you to death, so to speak. Well, listen, God allows that sometimes in our life. But just let me ask you from the outside, do you believe that God is able to handle your problem? That might be it. Well, I don't see how He could ever handle this. You don't have to see how. And He'll surprise you sometimes, that is for sure, because He didn't work it out at all like you thought He would work it out. You say, if God would only do this, everything would be all right. He doesn't have to do it your way. He has a multitude of ways that he can accomplish it. But trust him. Think about it. Think of our Lord. He's calling us at a greater knowledge of himself and of his power. And brother, that's power unlimited. Power unlimited. Put your this beside that. Amen. Power unlimited. He can handle your problem. He can handle whatever it is. And he'll give you the grace to bear it. But then it's power unsought. And it's unsought because of unbelief on our part. We can't imagine the power of God. There's no way our finite minds can comprehend it. We see a little evidence of it. And if you hadn't got caught up in this mess that's going on today and think that earthquakes happen because and hurricanes happen because, and you say, preacher, you don't believe in science at all. I sure do. But I believe God's one created science. I believe God the one that's in control of nature. I don't think it's this or that. I don't think it's because, and if it is a result of air currents moving a certain way and warm air rising and all of that, I know all of that plays in, but there's a bigger hand than Mother Nature behind that. That's God Almighty, and he's in control. That's just a little evidence of his power. You watch the next time a thunderstorm moves in close. When that lightning is flashing and that thunder is booming, well, the Bible hints to us that that's something like the voice of God. You talk about power. Power! But he doesn't give us creation as an example of his power. In the New Testament, it's always looking back out of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It's by God's power that he got up on that third day. And Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, it's that same power that God works in our lives today. It's unlimited power. Unlimited. What about that? Well, let's move on. There's one other thing. Notice the communication in this challenge. And we see that in answers given. Notice their answer to Christ. They said unto him, yea, Lord. They didn't go into a long explanation. They said, yea, Lord. And they meant it. Perhaps they had heard, perhaps they had seen some of his miracles performed. I do not know. Maybe there was just something in his person that drew that out. And they said, yes. Yes, we believe that you are able to do this. Their answer to Christ is an expected answer. When it is Christ asking, believe ye that I am able to do this, then the only proper answer is yes. And if he's speaking to your heart tonight and you're sitting there and you came in here maybe with a broken heart, maybe under a great burden, and it right now, the Spirit of God whispering unto your heart, believe ye that I am able to do this? Then the only proper answer and the correct answer of faith is yes, I believe it. You're Almighty God, and I believe you can handle my problem. That's a start. That may not be the end, but that is a start. And that's where you start. You know that's true. We've seen and experienced evidences of the ability of God. And have there not been heart dealings with you wherein you were convinced your own self of the same, that he is able? Listen, the Spirit of the Lord convinces us of God's ability in order that our answer may be the expected one. You do not see a way out. You're so hemmed in. And the Lord is asking, believe ye that I am able to do this? But then it's an expressive answer, because I notice in this text that these men had called Jesus the Son of David. But now they're calling him Lord. Amen. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Do you think I can do it? And they said, yes, Lord. Amen. You say, I don't see anything in that. Well, I hope the Lord will open your eyes. I see a lot in that. Think of it. In spite of all those around who denied the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, And they did. These men openly confessed him to be who he is in the midst of that multitude. What about that? Yea, Lord. And they were as much as saying, we believe not only that you are the son of David, which could be proved by any of the scribes and Pharisees, but we believe that you are the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the one that God sent. Yes, we believe you, Lord. What about that? That might help you with your problem to realize who it is that wants to handle it. To realize that he's much more than anyone you've ever known. Amen. And that he's able. He is Lord. Is he Lord of your life? That's a good question. But it was also an exclusive answer. It wasn't Christ plus. Lord, I believe with the help of your disciples, you could heal our blindness. They didn't say that, did they? No. And it's not the preacher that can help you so much. God may use the preacher to send help your way. But you need to learn to look and not at second causes and this and that. But look to the Lord. He's our strength. He's our all. He's the one that can help you. I told you I learned a lot on my own. I'm not exalting myself. It was rough having to. It would have been nice just to been able to run over to someone or to open a book and find the answer immediately. It wasn't that way. But I did learn that God knows every problem I have. Whether it's personal, whether it's with the church, God knows it. And I've just simply learned down through the years, take it to Him. Take it to Him. And he has the answer. You preachers, especially you young preachers, need to remember that. You can't always get your answer out of a commentary. No. You're going to have to pray your way through some things. But pray believing that he is able. So that's the answer to Christ. Then there's the answer from Christ. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's mercy expressed. Yeah. Oh, my. You say, well, I don't know. Preacher, I failed the Lord so much, and I just don't feel like he would do that for me. Are you saved? One thing you need to learn is that when Christ went to Calvary and died for our sins, he removed every impediment from the way of God's blessing us. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't confess your daily sins to the Lord. You should. But I want to tell you something. There is therefore now no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus. He's your Lord. And he's abundant in mercy. And don't think he doesn't want to help you. That's from the devil. That's not from the Lord. He wants to help you. He knows your problem. He's able to tackle your problem and to do whatever needs to be done. Amen. He's willing. You may have to get cleaned up. You may have to learn a little more about him. But if you'll trust him, he'll get you there. And while this doesn't have to do with the answer from Christ, I just tacked this on. Here is mercy expressed, but here is merit excluded. Did these guys go home and try to get things straightened out and all this and that to begin with? No, they went just as they were. Amen. They didn't do a thing but keep crying out to him to help them. Oh, no merit, no preparation. They went to the Lord as a beggar, as a blind person, as a sinner. They went to him and cried out to him, and he helped them. Oh, if we could just see how big the heart of God is. If we could just see that and how he loves us. And how he longs to just pull us up to him and love us, let us know that. We wouldn't doubt him. No. So ask yourself before the Lord the question that He's asking you. And let me ask you tonight, do you think He's able to help you? Do you think He's able to move in the church you attend? Do you think He's able to send revival? Do you think that He can bless this camp meeting as He's never blessed it before? Do you believe that He can clear the pathway for you? You don't see a way. Some of you might even be dreading tomorrow and what's going to happen or what you think is going to happen. Maybe it's a confrontation you're going to have to make. And I don't like confrontation. But maybe something's coming. Do you believe the Lord can help you?
Amen.
Do you really believe that He can do this for you? He can, Brother Tony. The service is yours.